our niche is making seven-plus-figure lifestyle businesses from your laptop. That's it. A lifestyle business for me is one that's typically focused on cash flow. It's focused on success, like not a moonshot, but hey, let's get a couple $100,000 a year of earnings going here and then see what opportunities open up to us.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
Dan, what is up, brother? Hey, How are you, man?
It's great to be here.
Two lifestyle guys. Can't believe it.
Your invitation email was so high quality, high culture, I would
say. Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, this sounds fun. What an interesting audience you have.
Yeah. For guys that are listening, I sent Dan an email and it just said capital S sup question mark. And now here we are.
Here we are.
So it worked. That's outreach, baby. But no, man, this is super exciting for me. So we got introduced through a mutual friend, Noah, who has been on the podcast, Noah Kagan. You got his book in the background and he was talking about these tropical MBA guys. A year ago, I heard about it. And now Noah brought you guys up again. And I looked into y'all stuff. And I freaking love what you guys have built with your brand, with the businesses, with everything. And you and I are going to have the agreement that we made, a gentleman's agreement, if you will, where I get to actually interview Dan for the first half of this interview. And then we'll open up the floodgates and me and him will just bro out for you guys listening in the back half of the episode.
Just clarify. I think because you're incredibly ambitious, smart, and you're making moves in the past few years, I'm seeing you execute better than what we have, because our stuff is like legacy. And so now I'm looking to freshen it up. And when I look at Action Academy, I'm like, oh shit, like this guy knows what he's doing. This is really interesting. So I have a lot of questions for you about how we can learn from you.
This is what happens when podcast host goes versus podcast host, man. We both love
it. It's free consulting.
It's free consulting from each other, man. But this will be a good one. So explain, who is Dan? What is your backstory? And what the hell is Tropical MBA for people that are listening?
Basically, our niche is making seven-plus-figure lifestyle businesses from your laptop. That's it. A lifestyle business for me is one that's typically focused on cash flow. It's focused on success, like not a moonshot, but hey, let's get a couple $100,000 a year of earnings going here and then see what opportunities open up to us in terms of startups or investments or scaling up to the next level. But keeping that location flexibility has always been at the core of what we do for our team and for ourselves. I lived abroad for over 10 years. I spend my summers in Spain. I get out of Austin every summer. This is a great town to live in, but the summer
till the summer,
no bueno, man. Me and the family, we pack it up, spend the whole summer in Spain, have a bunch of friends come visit. And that's why we got into business in the first place. It wasn't necessarily that we're like these diehard money guys. So it was always like, our jobs suck. We didn't have elite educations. We didn't have that friends and family round. So for us, it was like, how do I have these basic freedoms of free time during the week? Not asking my boss to go to the dentist, being able to go to another country for a month. I remember when I got my first big raise, Brian, it was like over six figures.
And what were you doing?
I was an operations guy at a small manufacturing company. Just middle of the road sort of job. I was ambitious, trying to move up, got that salary I'd always wanted. And I remember thinking, man, I can't even leave the country for 2 or 3 weeks. And for me, that was the beginning of the end of having a job. I started to look to the internet to seek out opportunities. So there you go. That's the basic story.
I love how it starts. And I love the angle of this conversation, because this podcast is a lot of real estate, a lot of here's how to buy businesses, here's how to start businesses. And you guys did, for all intents and purposes, more so what I did. Let's build our own really highly profitable cash flow business that I can operate anywhere with a Mac and a mic and Wi-Fi connection. So I think it's a really cool perspective to be able to share for some people that are listening that are analyzing the real estate and they're saying, okay, this passive income thing is awesome and maybe I want to do it in the long term, but how the hell do I replace $150,000 in a year or two?
Yes.
And so that was the same question I asked, is like, how do I do this in 6 months, not 5 years? So talk about the creation of the brand. So Tropical MBA as the podcast, as the community, like how did the brand originate?
So originally we were manufacturing as custom manufacturers back in the day in our jobs. This is me and my business partner. And we thought, why would we do what every client wants? Why don't we just create one thing and sell a bunch of them? We were like, yeah, surely we'll get rich if we do that. So we came up with a bunch of different product ideas, one being valet parking podiums, which you still see our company's podiums everywhere in downtown Austin when you go out to a fancy restaurant. That black box out front with the umbrella in it, that's ours. We ended up selling that company in 2015. So we started by finding factories in China, building websites, couldn't afford developers. So I was like, man, I read on the internet that you could go to like the Philippines and hire developers for cheap. So I started going to the Philippines, didn't really love living there. So I would hang out in Thailand and I was like, man, Thailand is so cool. I bet people from America would come be my apprentice. And I bet I could pay them a living here in Thailand. They would run my ad campaigns, do copy, do delivery for clients and stuff like that. And I was like, put it up on the web. I was like, get your Tropical MBA. Come work for me. I run $1 million e-commerce company. Come out to Thailand. I'll pay for everything and just help us grow this company. And so the Tropical MBA turned out to be this basic internship program. It started in 2009. And then we started doing a podcast at the same time. We called it the Lifestyle Business Podcast. And one thing led to another. And we sold that e-commerce business for multiple millions of dollars in 2015. And we just kept running with the show because we're just passionate about it. And so that's basically the origin of the Tropical MBA. And since 2009, we've been putting out an episode every week.
Damn. Growing a podcast is the hardest thing. There's no growth hack to growing a podcast. You can grow a business. Our kind of tagline now is we did $1 million in revenue before 1 million downloads. And it ticks me off and also makes me proud at the same time. Because now it's like the social media, like you do a cool video, it goes viral. Like with business, you got product market fit, it compounds on itself. Podcast is just low and slow.
It helps to be back in those days too. You didn't have to be as remarkable to get word of mouth. For us, it was like, we were the first location independent business gurus that weren't primarily gurus. And that was enough. Mm-hmm. They're running real businesses. And that was always our thing. I think the power of podcasting is just the conversion rate into your message. If you say, hey, I'm going to have an event in Austin, or hey, I'm going to do this, it's better than any other medium by far. So it's 1,000%. Worth the
slog. So man, back in your operations gig, you and Ian, y'all were working these operations jobs, and it sounds like you were just throwing stuff at the wall to see what stuck for your businesses. If you could look back and see like a common thread or a common framework between all of them, besides like, we just had stick-to-itiveness. What's some advice you can give to somebody that's in that same position right now where you're like, hey, I'll do whatever it takes. I just need to figure out where to start.
Yeah.
What's some advice you can give?
So a great framework for thinking about starting a business is finding a demand channel that you can be competitive on. And so the reason it looks crazy, because we were doing portable bars, we're doing valet parking equipment, we're doing modern cat furniture, is because at the time we were like, we see the monthly global Google searches. This is like freaking early days. And we were like, we know people are searching for this equipment. And we know we can rank in the top three for it because we were hanging out with internet cats and like the people making valet podiums at the time, they didn't have web agencies or people helping building their web presence. So, okay, we can be number one on the web for valet parking podiums. Can we deliver? And can we deliver profitably? And so that became the challenge. Like we know within 3 to 6 months, we're going to be able to generate demand. What can we do on the delivery side? And I think that stands for any business, whether it's your demand channel is going to be TikTok, Instagram, podcasting. You can lay them out. Like there's 25 of them. Just figure out what's the one you're going to focus on. What's your thesis? How can you measure it? And importantly, how can you compete? I typically find if you can figure out the demand side, the delivery side's doable. You just tweak your offer. That was always my thing about manufacturing. It's if you get me the customers, I'll go get it made. You know what I mean? That's the easy part. The hard part is figuring out who's going to buy what and where are you going to find them? So I think that's how you generate business ideas, essentially. How can you win on X channel?
I like how you kind of leveraged your career capital into that too, because like your world was manufacturing. You're like, dude, I do this in my freaking sleep. I know this. Whereas somebody like me will look at manufacturing and go, how the hell would I pull that off? Right? Because I'm from sales and marketing. So that's my jam. But I don't know anything about like physical product or physical fulfillment and operations and systems and supply chain. Know nothing about that. So it's just, that's another cool point, is being able to leverage like your skill set from the career that you already have, and then being able to add on top of that or diagonally into what's next. And I like how you were looking at the Google trends. I think that's huge, where you're like, you didn't need like a sexy new idea. You didn't need to create the new Tesla or SpaceX. You're just like, let's look at some macro trends on Google and see what's trending and increasing over time, and see what the trends are. And then we'll just ride the wave. And that's where luck is created, is in the macro trends.
I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. If you're wealthy and you went to Harvard and your parents are astrophysicists, then by all means, create the next rocket ship. But for me, I was just trying to get basic financial freedom. And then you can, once you get there, you got some spare time, you can focus on bigger challenges. I love the point you're making about leveraging your career capital. A lot of people hate their jobs, and so they think the business needs to look a lot
completely different.
I take the opposite approach, which is, hey, your job is a client. Okay, you have a client that's profitably delivering on your skill set. So you're already in business. So the question is, getting one client is a lot easier than getting 100. So if you want to start an entrepreneurial path, sometimes the best idea is to get a better job, maybe even to take a pay cut, depending on how you want to do it, to start working for a job that has apprenticeship qualities, like something you can parlay into your business. One of the trends I see is that a lot of people's businesses look like their last jobs. If you're a sales and marketing person, you start a sales and marketing consultancy, you start a sales and marketing SaaS. And so typically like laddering up your career and seeing that as an entrepreneurial challenge is a decent, like, I need to do something right now versus trying to jump on some social network like after work and spend an hour doing something. Is what are you doing 8 hours a day? It's typically like a more productive place to look.
Yeah. So question right now on today's like environment, if you could go back, like knowing what you know today, would you still start those businesses from scratch, or would you just go look at acquisition of like buying current businesses and then bringing them into the 21st century?
That's a really interesting question. Part of it is just what kind of capital can you get your hands on? Mm-hmm. And then what kind of risk are you taking on? And how much control are you giving up? So looking at all those things, I think is how I would think about the decision. I think it's pretty tough to buy affordable businesses. And so when I'm thinking about starting out, if I don't have a big nut and like a lot of capitalization, I'd probably lean towards starting something myself. I think a lot of the assumptions too, like people say, oh, that business already has product market fit and I can do this. Those assumptions are wrong just as much as they're right. Yeah. Because oftentimes we look at businesses very naively, especially these smaller businesses that I see people buy, take loans for. A lot of times the way you think you could improve them was actually an asset to that business or something that you didn't fully understand. I think what I would do is probably just go back and start from scratch.
Okay. So for you guys to thread it all together, you would start with the trend, then go into like the idea, and then especially like the physical world, like you would figure out the manufacturing, and then you would just optimize the SEO.
SEO is a bit of different game. Right now, if I was going to start a brand, I might start looking at like the conferences in the space, because it just depends. Can you rank for those terms anymore? That's the big thing. So again, I'm just focusing on the demand channel and can I compete? That's all that counts to me, is like, how much revenue can I reliably bring in through the door through my main channel? And that's how I'm going to select which business I'm going to start.
Dude, I freaking love it. At the time, I think it was like Dharmesh Shah. He was like the co-founder of HubSpot. He talks about the $1 trillion Venn diagram of success. And he talks about having, we have one skill over here, which for you guys was maybe, for you personally, was like manufacturing. And then you have another circle, and this was SEO. Now it's like, put them together, and now you've got a $1 trillion business idea. Right there. It's the $1 trillion Venn diagram of success. You take $1 million and $1 million, and now it's a one in a trillion. You're now in a one in a trillion. And there's another quote that's like a bear in a unicycle. You see a bear, you see a unicycle, you say, so what? But you see a bear riding a unicycle, you say, holy shit, that's awesome.
I love that. Look around, and that's part of
just combining.
You're describing why it's hard when you're first getting started to buy established businesses and why that's risky. Because you might not know about the bear and the unicycle that came together to make that thing a reality. And so if you don't have an asset right now that you can capitalize on that acquisition, it oftentimes goes off the rails for those reasons. Yeah, I've heard it before. It's a baseball pitcher who writes poetry. That's interesting. It's like taking your fresh perspective to something that's established.
I love it. So let's talk about where we are today. So walk us through Tropical MBA. Like, how many listeners, how many are in this community, and what's your business ecosystem look like? Because I see you have a couple of different job sites, different kind of subsidiary businesses. Walk us through where we're at today.
Yeah, we're starting to build out the ecosystems. We started hosting events for our listeners in 2012, and now we have four big ones a year: Barcelona, New York, Bangkok, and Mexico. Right now, we have over 1,000 paying members, and 100 of them are like our top tier members that are all 7- and 8-figure founders. Show has been downloaded millions and millions of times. We get over 10,000 listeners a week for our current episodes, and our back catalog is still doing well. But yeah, we also have a job site. We have a recruiting service. But the primary thing is, if you're in that category of 7- and 8-figure founders and you're looking to connect with other people, we also have an advisory portion. It's been a community that's been around for 10 years. So there's like a lot of history and lore going there. So it's been pretty cool.
How much? First question I ask on an onboarding call, how much lore is in this group? Right. First thing I need to know.
There's a lot of lore, man.
A lot of lore. LOL, a lot of lore.
These people, man, they like all know each other. It's not like an online thing. So we've got members that host events in like London, Australia, Taipei, Tokyo. And so people literally pack their bags and they'll go around the community, go on like the Dynamite Circle Hodge or whatever, like the pilgrimage. And so people have been doing that for years. And it wasn't until recently that we started to look at it as a business. For the longest time, it was like just a private club and something cool that we did. And now we started, you know, as like this has become the trend on the web, we've started to look for our next thing. We started to look at our current thing and we were like, this is a good business. Let's do this.
Yeah. So that's the power of brand, the power of audience. So it's like you just go build. And that's why it's so important right now, is especially with the podcast, like you guys have been doing it since 2009. And now it's like you have people over all this time. That 10,000 is ride or die. So it's, instead of going to try to find like all these new business ideas, you just go talk to your people that already know and trust you and say, what the hell do you need? That's what we did. So we were just like, what do you need? And they're like, we want to travel around the world. We want to buy businesses and real estate. And I was like, sick, we'll help you with that. And then now I was like, what do you need? And they're like, we want to go do the really badass events. Like, we want to go, we don't want to do like the room block in a hotel. We want to rent out like mega mansions and do cool shit like that. And I was like, let's do it in Latin America. So we started doing that. That almost became a $1 million business now. And then they were like, okay, what else do we need? Then it's me asking, why don't we own the freaking places we're staying at? And so now that going into 2025, like my idea right now is $25 million of real estate in 2025, to where we go buy all these boutique hotels and all of these luxury properties that we're staying at, and like just own where we're staying and have it almost not necessarily like the Soho model, but just be like, for Action Academy, by Action Academy. It's like what we talk about. Let's just combine it. It's like, all of these different ideas are just from asking our people.
I'm curious, how do you combine community with advisory? Like you mentioned, this isn't just we're hanging out in there. We're going to hold you accountable and you're going to get clarity. Mm-hmm. How do you deliver on that promise and how do you charge for it?
Yeah. So it's an annual subscription. So we do a down payment and like for an annual subscription. I'll speak on it from a purely business model perspective and then also from a consumer perspective. If you have a monthly recurring model, that's going to be super high churn and low buy-in. So what we do is like ours is $7,000 a year. It's $3,500 up front. You get like a discount for paying up front, of course, or you can do that up front and monthly. So that's the revenue model. And that's just the best model that we found to have buy-in every single year where you're like, okay, like this is something I'm committing to. We have about 300 folks right now, and we have about 65% of them, 70% are like the core members, and they make between $100,000, $600,000 a year between 5 and 50 rental properties. So these are people that are already buying real estate and they're looking to scale. And what we do with our model is then we take people that are on the podcast that I've got like relationships with and I know and trust. And they're in there, and it's this beautiful symbiosis. They are hungry to help people that are worth helping. And what I mean by that is, you've probably given advice hundreds of times to people that they don't do anything with it.
Totally.
So it's really refreshing to come and hang out with people that are high energy, high octane, like they're already proven through the application process, which we have an extensive application process. This is just fun. It's a fun environment for them. They come in, they help, they offer advice and coaching. So for our new members that are joining, we say, let's not do an online course where you're just like winging it and partnering with some random guy that you're trying to Facebook message cold. Our guys over here will partner with you, and they always partner together. So it's like the mentors get free deal flow. So they'll help them with underwriting, and they'll say, hey, okay, here's how we underwrite, and I'm worth $20 million. Go out and do the thing. I'll help you tweak it as you come. And then they'll come back to mentor and say, yo, I got four deals here. Do you want to partner on any of these? And then it's a hell yes or it's a no. And then they're able to partner on the deal without doing any work. And then the other person now has like somebody to guide them through, and like the mentee is the one that's running the deal and operating it. And they're learning while having their hand held by someone with experience.
Interesting.
It's like millions of dollars being exchanged. And it's just at the end of the day, dude, it's just freaking fun. It's a blast. So that's how we do it. I'm really sick and tired of joining groups and paying a shit ton of money and nobody does next to nothing.
Yeah.
So for us, when you join, it's like you're doing stuff or you're getting kicked out. No refund. Straight up. It's massive accountability because people have these big ass goals. But unless you become the version of you that's actually capable of doing that, which is like through some sweat and grit and accountability, you will not achieve that goal because it's hard. It's hard. Yeah.
That's so cool. What are some of those key principles? I'm curious because in the bootstrap business space, I can rattle them off for you. What are those things? The sort of frameworks I use to scale my real estate holdings. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, I have more money. I invest in more stuff.
Oh, like, yeah. That's where everyone starts with. But then how most people buy large real estate deals in businesses is through partnerships and through OPM, other people's money.
Yep.
So it's through like debt and equity partnerships. So like the easiest way is we break it down into five models. Like the first is, how do you get leads? Same thing with business. How do you get deals across your desk? Like, how do you talk to brokers? How do you talk to distressed owners? Stuff like that for each asset. Number two, how do you underwrite? So how do you underwrite a deal? What does a good deal look like? What's a great deal look like? What's a shit deal look like? Let's underwrite 100 properties together. Let's do the thing together. Same thing with businesses. Like, how do you look at a P&L? Next is, okay, let's now submit offers and conduct due diligence. So now what's the model for sending an offer? What's an offer look like? When an offer gets accepted, holy shit, I'm under contract for a $5 million property. Is this a good deal? Let's double check. Let's have a model for this and have eyeballs on this from experienced people that have done this 20 years, right?
Yeah.
And then finally, it gets all the way down to, okay, now this is a good deal. We've got 10 different eyeballs on it, and we've underwrote this 30 different languages here. Now it's, how do we raise capital for the deal to make sure that the deal actually gets done? How do you go to investors and you say, hey, I'm raising capital, I'll give you this interest rate on this capital, or I'll make you this equity partnership minority position, and then close the asset all the way down to the closing table.
So your members are interacting with your group 52 times a year, minimum. They're on a pod call every single week.
Oh, dude, way more than 52 times. The average member is probably spending like 2 to 5 hours minimum a week within the group or the ecosystem, but not in a lame way, but in a fun way, because you're meeting all these new people and get on a 15-minute call and it turns into an hour.
Tell me about your events. I want to hear about these events now. This sounds amazing. I want to know what inspired you to build this model.
Now this is just like 16 months of obsession over this. This is my, what I call passionate income, because I was already had the $20,000 a month coming in. Like when I started the company, like I'd already traveled full-time around the world and everybody was coming to me and asking me like, how did you do this? And then that's how, what started the business. It took us 13 months and 18 days to hit $1 million in recurring.
Congrats. It's incredible.
I tracked everything, dude, and I documented it all on the podcast. And then,
the deep dive.
I document the 1 year, the 1 million. I'm going to document the 3 million, the 5 million, and then the 10 million. Our show is the documentation of my journey from quitting my corporate job to starting my own company from $0 to $10 million a year, recurring, all while traveling full time around the world.
Yeah.
That's the pod. So it's just like all of this is live and I talk about my numbers and everything for the people so that they can do it too. And then the events business started off the same way we started this one off, which was just like purely started off super low cost, affordable, and just say, hey, we don't know what we don't know. Let's figure this thing out together for a discount. You in? Cool. First event was Tamarindo, Costa Rica. We had 47 people, charged $2,000 a head, lost money, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Then the next event was Cabo San Lucas. We rented out these mega mansions. We charged $3,250 a head, still lost money, but that was sick. It was like not a painful amount. I think we lost $7,000 on that one, but it was like okay, cool. And then now our next one in Tulum in September of this year, we sold it out and the email that I sent was only like, this was the entire copy. I'm such an idiot, dude. The copy sup? Literally said,
we're going to Tulum.
Yes, sup. It's basically, yeah, dude. It said, yo, last two events were pretty sick, right? Where are we heading to next? I don't know. Who's speaking? No clue. Where will it be? IEK. What are the dates? September 12th through the 15th. Price, $4,000? Question mark. And here's the Stripe link. Here's a video of our last event. And we did like $300,000-$400,000 on a Sunday morning. We completely sold it out from an internal email. No marketing.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So we have 80 so far that are booked and paid, and we'll have about 20 or 30 additional that we'll allot for like new members to come in between now and September.
And what do y'all do down there? Like, how do you structure, how are you planning on structuring?
We just vibe out, man. Just vibe out. No. There's no vibe out with us, man. No, so we do Thursday through Sunday. We hang out at these beautiful mega mansions, like the coolest houses you've ever seen in your entire freaking life. The houses that cost like $20,000-$30,000 a weekend.
Yeah.
It's like where we're staying. And now this time we booked 13 houses on a freaking neighborhood. We booked an entire neighborhood for
That's
this
crazy.
One. And I wired $80,000 to the event company on a Wednesday, dude. It was insane. And then everyone comes. Friday we fly in speakers. The entire morning is speakers. The entire afternoon is like extraordinarily curated small group coaching. So have you ever been to a Tony Robbins event?
I haven't, no.
So Tony Robbins events are like masterclass of event throwing. So like they do a lot of research about the demographics and the needs of every single person in the room. So ours are very deep in like business and acquisition and who needs help with what. And so those are the breakout sessions, like really going deep and deep dive into people's businesses, ripping them to the studs, building them back up so people leave with like really a lot of value. And then going into Saturday, we have more speakers in the morning, some more small groups. Then we go rent out a couple yachts, have some fun in the sun. And then we're doing a party at the end of it. And then now I'm budgeting like our meeting recap notes was like, we're budgeting for fire dancers. So I have a line item for fire dancers and then that'll be sick. So we're spending about $250,000 on this next event. We'll have about 110 people. That's what we do. It's a blast, dude. It's super fun.
That's incredible. I love it. I love this Action Academy. I love your copy too. Final question. Like the final two questions are, tell me about writing the sales page itself and tell me a little bit about your team. Who helps you deliver Action Academy?
So the sales copy is my favorite thing because I read all that stuff myself and I've tweaked it a bunch of times just to make it more outrageous. I think right now it's like at the top, I've got to the words like, hard work make you tingle in weird ways or something like that. And I was like, if that's the case, this is the place for you. And then like in big, bold letters, it's 90% of you, this isn't a fit. My favorite piece of copy I put was like, we're the world's best communal combination of ass kicking and hand holding. Love that, dude. Because we tell people you need your hand held to learn it, but you need your ass kicked to execute it. Because your execution needs to go from like a B to an A plus to take down these assets that you want to take down. The team just originated internally. We're just now getting into like our groove of the team. So we have an internal team of about 10 now. There's like maybe 4 or 5 that are officially formally on the payroll. We have 6 figures of payroll. And then a lot of like commission-based stuff that people that help with, I try to make it as variable as possible for different metrics and different Nice. Bonuses and stuff because we bootstrapped. And now it's just, now we're just saving money. We're stockpiling cash for more positions. I'm about to hire a creative director and put up a job posting for that. for a full-time like YouTube guy or girl that's going to be following me around, helping us with our YouTube channel and growing a huge brand like that. So right now, yeah, we got about a team of 10 that does different things. We got a client success team. We have a mentorship team. We have a team for my events company. And then now, as soon as we branch off into this new thing in 2025, like I'll have an entire internal team from that's like ready to rock and take down $25 million of real estate.
That's so cool. I'm impressed. It's inspiring.
Thanks, buddy.
I love what you're doing. I just love it. I've been in this industry for a while. And so it's just cool to see somebody running the playbook and executing so well. It's a really exciting story. It's really cool to see it executed well.
It's a blast, man. People are leaving their jobs left and right, starting their own stuff. And now they're able to go build that passion project. And I tell people all the time, dude, the fastest way to kill a passion is to not make money, lose money from it.
Totally.
So because everyone thinks, oh, I love mountain biking. I'm going to go open a mountain bike shop in Colorado. Okay, Brad, like you're going to join 90 other mountain bike shops and now you're going to be in the red every month and your marriage is going to fall apart because you guys have no money. 100%. And then now guess what you hate? You freaking hate mountain biking. Like these professional golfers, like they don't even like
scuba
golfing
divers.
Anymore.
There's a whole scuba freaking diver. List.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So you can go down the list. So I'm like, let's make you so much freaking money through investments that
you can golf.
You can go. You can just go mountain bike. You don't have to make your business around it.
That's what I'm doing when we're done. I'm going mountain biking. I'm going golfing tomorrow. I totally couldn't agree with this concept more. You should build that one out. I'm sure you have, but like.
I did. It's called Passionate Income, brother.
There you go. There you go. I'm buying the book after the call. I'm buying the book.
I'm bringing you a book. We're broing out in Austin. And then when are you going to Barcelona?
All summer long. So that'll be July 4th. Yeah. We're actually having an event there. 50 of our members are coming to Barcelona to join us. So yeah, I'm excited for the summer as well.
When's the event?
July 29th.
Okay. I won't be in Spain then. But I'm coming out to Pamplona for the running of the bulls.
Sick.
So I'll link up with you in Barcelona too.
Let's do it. That's awesome, man.
Heck yeah, bro. Where can people find out more about you, what you do, who you guys are? They want to check out Tropical MBA. Where do you direct them?
TropicalMBA.com, man. Just check out our show. Send me an email, dan@tropicalmba.com. It's been awesome to learn about what you guys are doing here, man. You're doing some special stuff. It's very cool.
Sick. Appreciate it, brother. So guys, go follow Tropical MBA. Check out Dan and Ian. And if you guys want to join Action Academy, I basically just gave you the sales pitch. You could still click the link and we can do it again in a different language if you'd like. But that's the pitch, guys. Do it or don't. Love you. Guys, with that, that has been Brian and Dan with the Action Academy podcast. Signing off. Hey, real quick, if you're still listening to today's episode, I'm assuming you got value from it, so I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this show is to help over 1 million people do what they want, when they want, with who they want, and I can only do that with your help. There are two main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you could please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to 1 or 2 friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the people that we're looking to reach. Thanks in advance. Talk tomorrow.